You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
When you are drinking something versus eating it, your body's going to respond to it very differently. Just from the actual surface area. So if you eat things and there's a surface, it takes longer for it to get digested. It slows things down. When you drink something, it's really easy for that to come. Here's the easy way to say that. If you eat 300 calories versus you drink 300 calories, you're going to be much hungrier much sooner from drinking the 300 calories than you would from eating it. When in doubt, don't have the smoothie. Have the banana and the strawberries and whatever else you're going to put in.
We are here because we know the outcomes in our lives are within our control. That taking absolute ownership of how we eat, sleep, train, think, and connect with each other is how we'll optimize our health and happiness. That chasing excellence is how we grab hold of what is possible. Our mission is to live on the run, always chasing, never stopping.
Hello, Ben.
Patrick.
Welcome back to your office.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to talk about nutrition, which I think a lot of people appreciate. I think that these tend to be, other than the ones with Catherine, these tend to be the most popular episodes. So we're going to try to do more of them. Today, we're going to sort of continue a conversation that we had in an episode. I think we released it like in October. So it's been a few months now. And it's the title of that was something like, Don't Get Bamboozled by Big Food. And what sort of the context to that conversation, which if this conversation that we have today is interesting to you, I definitely recommend folks go back and re-listen to that or listen to that for the first time if they're new here. But the context for that conversation was you and Dan, it was an episode of the CF Anyway, which is your internal podcast over at the gym. And the context of it was you guys wanted to sort of break down what you guys called like seemingly healthy, unhealthy foods, right? Or in other words, food that looked like and was marketed as, you know, quote unquote, health foods that we wanted to sort of debunk a little bit and sort of show how they were actually, that it was just marketing more than it was truth, right?
I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for people that are making the sacrifices, you know, obviously in the gym, but sacrifices in the kitchen, at the dinner table, at restaurants. And they're still like, they think that they're making sacrifices. They think that they're making the healthier choices and they're just not like, that's like, so the idea is like, let's pull back the curtain a little bit. And if you are one of those people that care, well, here's another way to make a more educated decision.
Yeah. Love that. Cool. So today we're going to sort of continue that conversation. We're going to talk about some specific foods that I think still, or that sort of fit into that category of like seemingly healthy, unhealthy foods. So we're going to go through a few more of those because I know people like specifics. So we've got a list of those that you sort of put together. And then we're going to go through what I'm really excited about, which is I heard you give a talk. It was a little while ago, but to your classes where you literally just broke down like a day of eating and you said, this is, you know, if this is what a day of eating looks like for you, we can make some pretty small changes to those decisions and have a dramatic impact on the overall quality of the food that you're eating. So that'll be sort of where we close the show. But we're going to start, I think, with some important context, which is just this idea of, why are we so hard on carbohydrates? Why, you know, not only you, but it's, you know, Coach Glassman says a lot, off the couch, off the carbs, right? Mm-hmm. So let's maybe start this conversation with a little bit of understanding of why that is the case. Why should we be paying attention to that?
Yeah. I have nothing against carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are essential for, I shouldn't say that, because there is other, without getting down the rabbit holes.
Yeah.
The problem is not carbohydrates. The problem is refined and excess carbohydrates. So if you're an elite athlete, like I train, like world-class athletes, we have them have, they're carbohydrate machines.
Right.
We operate it in the glycolytic pathway and the endeavors that we are focusing on, super high intensity, way more so than like marathon runners or cyclists or people that are going for hours and hours and hours. We are super high intensity. We are just burning up carbohydrates and it is the primary fuel source. It's also the primary fuel source that your brain operates on. It's like, it's so essential to so many of us. The problem becomes when you have too much of them.
Right.
The real shortcut, real easy, like snapshot to understand at an elementary level is too much carbohydrates. Let me try and skip out some, not use jargon. Too many carbohydrates will make you fat and sick.
Gotcha.
Like if you're going to, think about the old saying was like calories in, calories out. Like if you only take in 1,000 calories and you burn 1,500, you're going to lose. Don't worry so much about that. Think about carbohydrates in versus carbohydrates burned. That's the one that really matters.
And there is a misnomer, certainly maybe within CrossFit, who folks who feel like they know what it is, but don't. The misnomer tends to be that, oh, you guys don't need any carbs.
Yeah. Right? So,
and is that just a bad job of people communicating like what we're actually talking about?
Let's back up a little bit. What's carbohydrates?
Sure.
Right. Like, so what are carbohydrates? Now, not like the carbon bonds and all that stuff. Like, let's talk about like a level that like people could then talk to their kids with.
Yep.
Carbohydrates are, most processed foods have high levels of carbohydrates. So like the crackers and the cookies and the chips, it's the things that like this way, it's the things that like you sit down to eat and like, you know, 10 minutes later you go, oh my God, what happened? Like I ate the whole thing. Like it's the things that you binge on.
Yeah.
No, very few people are like binging on like ribeye steaks or like salmon or eggs, but people tend to binge on the Pringles and the donuts. And
I had eight eggs yesterday.
That's probably not binging. Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of, but it is also, and this is what people start to miss, it is also fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So if you are eating a Paleolithic or ancestral diet, or if you are eating even like a ketogenic diet, there is a place for fruit and vegetables, and you can get your carbs in through that way. It's just a lot harder, which is why those diets tend to succeed a lot of times. Beyond the whole food aspect is the fact that they are lower on the carbohydrate spectrum. Yeah. So people are burning them up and not getting excessive amounts, which then turns into fat and so on.
Gotcha.
Fat doesn't make you fat. Excess carbohydrates make you fat. Mm-hmm. Yes. Excess calories can as well, but a calorie is not a calorie. So it's a little more of a confusing conversation.
Right.
What I mean by that is, if you have a meal of wild-caught salmon and broccoli and some olive oil and some a fruit salad, like that might be more calorically dense, or there might be more calories in that than a bunch of Oreos and stuff like that. One is going to make you more sick. One is going to make you healthier. It's not just the calories.
Got it. Good time to dive into the list of danger foods.
Yeah, well, maybe like another thing is like just a further clarification. A lot of people are under the understanding, and it's just like kind of commonplace that sugar is bad for them.
Right.
Well, that's sugar is carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are monosaccharides, polysaccharides, disaccharides. One too many sugars. That's what saccharides. Like that's what a carbohydrate is. Now your body can use them a little bit differently, but for the sake of this conversation, let's call a carb a carb.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, if we can lower the sugar content, particularly added refined sugars and processed foods, if we can lower those things down, then what we'll end up doing is by default creating a healthier environment for us, which will be lower calorie, which obviously lower carb, which is lower sugar, which you will then become more of a fat burning machine.
You might have to remind me of exactly what you said in the previous episode that I mentioned, the don't get bamboozled, but you said something about don't look at the sort of the calorie count, but look at the ingredients. Is that
don't accurate? Even look at the nutrition. Yeah.
No, so, that's what it was. The nutrition.
So what we said
panel.
Was like, so in that bamboozled one, we were talking about more about like quality of food.
Yeah.
In this conversation, we're going to dive into more of the quantity of food.
Cool.
So literally more about like how much carbohydrates. So in there we were talking about like comparing different cereals,
right?
One cereal, because it looks like has lower fat and lower calories and it looks like it's better for you. But if you look at the ingredients list, one could be so much more cleaner than the other one.
Okay. Okay. Danger food list.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And just for fun, Ben named them, you named them the danger foods, which
danger foods
I think is awesome. Okay. So I'm just going to run down the list and then you sort of.
So just other, you mentioned this, but these are like seemingly healthy,
yep,
but unhealthy foods. Now they're not, you know, it's not cake, it's not cookies, obviously,
right,
because those don't seem like they're healthy. These are things that are marketed to us as healthy,
mm-hmm,
and people think that they're making smart choices, but probably aren't making the best choices. There is better alternatives, which you don't have to look too far to get.
Okay. All right. First one is yogurt.
Okay, so yogurt can be healthy. Like Greek yogurt, especially if you tolerate dairy, is healthy. And for all the reasons that it's been marketed, which is, you know, the live cultures and bacterias, and it can be good. Now, the problem is not all yogurts are good. So right. People are just like, go get yogurt. And what they miss is that if you're getting like these flavored or light and fit or low calorie, low fat, exactly, they're probably very high sugar. Mm-hmm. So check it out. Look at the nutrition label on the back. See if they have 7, 8, 9, 10. Some of them have up to 21 grams of sugar, added sugar. And the number two ingredient will be fructose. Mm-hmm. And enough said, because everyone's petrified of fructose.
Right. Right. Okay. Number two, wheat bread.
Okay. So wheat bread is not the end of the world. Particularly if you, wheat bread, the issue is the gluten. And I don't want to go down the gluten like, you know, pound that drum too hard, but it's not just about celiac disease. It's not about just gluten intolerances. There's only 1% of the population. And funny enough, I know a handful of people. I know two of my kids are,
oh, really?
are one is celiac and one is maybe celiac, maybe just, which is the other thing I'm about to talk about, which is gluten sensitive.
Mm, I didn't know that.
So there's 18 million people which have gluten sensitivities that are not diagnosed as celiac. And what they're sensitive to is gluten. What gluten is, because I saw this thing on the late night with Jimmy Kimmel,
mm-hmm.
and they would go down the streets. And
oh,
they're
yeah.
Like, so they're like, do you eat gluten? They're like, oh, no, no way would I eat gluten. Yeah. They're like, what is gluten? They're like, gluten is a protein found in wheat. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're talking about wheat bread.
Yep.
If you are sensitive to it, you're creating an autoimmune response, mm-hmm. which is, without the jargon, your body can't figure out what is food and what is your body. And it starts basically digesting / attacking your own body in your gut lining, particularly, mm-hmm. which then creates this thing called leaky gut, which is, and then the snowball yep. effect and yep. bad things happen. So the idea behind that is like, you may be gluten sensitive without even knowing it. The idea is come off of it completely. And when you did this, when my kids did this, they had bumps on the backs of their arms that went away. It's like crazy stuff. Like we have people in the gym that do this, and people that struggle with like eczema and skin. The skin thing really, so it's either like you'll feel it either digestively because yep. of that, or it manifests itself on the skin a lot.
Gotcha. Three is sort of a whole category of foods, which is just organic.
Okay. So when in doubt, buy organic. Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy produce or meat or seafood or eggs or, you know, fruits and vegetables, like organic is better for you than not. What organic means is that it's grown or raised without chemicals or pesticides or hormones or anything like that. But here's the problem is that the marketers know that organic is like a go-to.
Yeah.
So they put it on foods that already aren't healthy.
Right.
So they put it on like organic toaster pastries, like essentially organic Pop-Tarts. Like,
yeah.
Just because they're organic doesn't mean the Pop-Tart is now good for you. And, you know, organic chocolate chip cookies, like because it's organic doesn't switch and change the fact that it's a chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Like organic ice cream, it's ice cream. Like don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't let them fool you. If you have your choice between whole foods, go organic. Absolutely.
Right.
But once you're talking processed foods, it doesn't change the fact that it's a processed food.
Number four, smoothies.
Okay, so smoothies is like, just we're on the same page, is like you go to like a Panera Bread and they blend up some yeah. fruit, and maybe yep. they throw some protein in there, some, yep. you know, exactly. Some frozen, whatever. Those are just loaded with sugar.
Right.
And they're not like fruit has a fair amount of sugar in it, but it also has tons of fiber, mm-hmm. which buffers the effect of the sugar. These smoothies, first off, if you're going to like which a lot of people do, they go to like a smoothie bar
yep.
or they go to like a coffee shop or like they'll get a smoothie or at a bakery. You also don't know what's going in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it you're like, I guess a scoop of protein. It could be crap protein. You don't know what else is going in it. And most smoothies have between 40 and 55 grams not of carbohydrates, 40, 55 grams of sugar.
Mm.
Just to point out, that's insanity. Like we were just talking about how bad the yogurt was,
mm-hmm.
that might have like 12.
Right.
This is 40 or 50 grams of sugar in a smoothie. That's crazy, crazy talk. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to make your own, that's different. It can be healthier. But let's also recognize that when you are drinking something versus eating it, your body's going to respond to it very differently. Just from the actual like surface area. So if you eat things and there's a surface, it takes longer for it to get digested. It slows things down. When you drink something, it's really easy for that to come. Here's the easy way to say that. If you eat 300 calories versus you drink 300 calories, you're going to be much hungrier much sooner from drinking the 300 calories than you would from eating it. When in doubt, don't have the smoothie. Have the banana and the strawberries and whatever else you're going to put in it.
This isn't on the list, and I'm curious what you think about it, but folks who do or claim that juice cleanses are somehow good for you, do you have an opinion or a thought on that?
That should be on this list. Yeah, okay. That's part of the same idea. Gotcha. Now, a juice cleanse or even like a veggie cleanse, right. You're basically just starving yourself, right. Is the idea. You're really, the reason that you lose weight is because you haven't eaten. You go from 1,500 to 2,500 calories down to probably a third of that. Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder that people feel like they're, you know, leaner and cleaner. And it's because you haven't had any of the crap you have been eating.
Right.
Easier, better way to do this would be just eat real foods in close to the same quantities as you used to, but much higher quality.
Gotcha. The next one is dried fruit.
Okay, so dried fruit, let's take like whether it's cherries or mangoes or what else do they dry? You know,
apples.
Dried apples. Okay, yeah. So what happens when they dry them is you're putting them through a process. You're now eating a processed food, not a natural whole food. And when you do that, you're sucking out the fiber that was good before, and all of the sugar stays. So if you take apples, which might have 25, 24 grams of sugar in an apple, but also has 5-6 grams of fiber. Well, now you go down to 1 or 0 grams of fiber and all the sugar stays. Now, that's not the end of the world, except that if you don't look at the nutrition facts, what you're going to, you might be buying dried fruit that has sugar then added on top of that.
Yeah.
Like the sweetest thing in the world is dried mango.
Yeah.
And then they take dried mango and add sugar into it. And they might have upwards of 17 grams of added sugar to a thing that already has, you know, 17 grams of sugar. It's like, I'm not that against dried fruit. Mm-hmm. I'm not. What I'm against is dried fruit that also has sugar added to it.
Yeah. And just to repeat something you said earlier, the idea that if it has fiber in it, it sort of, and actually it's more of a question because if it has fiber still intact, it somehow combats the effects of the sugar?
Fiber slows things down.
Okay.
Yeah. So fiber is, if you have something that has 10 grams of sugar and 5 grams of fiber, the net carb would only be 5 because there's only 5 left over. That's kind of like a math equation way that you can kind of do that. But really what's happening is it's just slowing the whole system down. So things don't, you know, the jargon I want to get into when you eat carbohydrates, particularly high glycemic ones, that's like sugary ones, they spike your blood sugar. In response to that, your body calls on your pancreas to release insulin. Insulin is the bad guy. Now, insulin is, if you don't have insulin in your body, you die, right? But too much insulin is too much, is hyper. Insulinemia is the blood. Look up hyperinsulinemia. That's what happens when you have too much insulin in the blood chronically all the time. It is the precursor to every chronic disease, from heart disease to cancer to Alzheimer's to it's insane. That is why this is the enemy, and that is why we're talking about this right now. Lower the excessive, particularly the sugar content of carbohydrates, and you get drastically healthier.
Next one is iced tea.
Okay, so iced tea by itself, again, just don't get bamboozled. It's like, so iced tea by itself is perfectly fine and awesome. It's a great choice for people. And, you know, some people like black or green tea can be a superfood for those individuals. It can be incredibly healthy. The problem is that marketers know that. So Arizona makes Arizona green tea. The problem is Arizona green tea has 47 grams of sugar in it because they know if you don't put the sugar in it, it doesn't taste good and people don't have it. So they're not idiots. So we want to make sure that we're like put in perspective, like we're talking like candy bar level, like yep. Swedish fish level. Like that's what kind of candy, that's what kind of sugar we're having. When we have like this 40 and 50, 60 grams of carbs. We would like to keep, you know, whenever you're having sugar, anything, if it should always be under 20 grams of something, particularly if it's added, it should be under, you know, it should be under added, you know, under 10 grams and mm-hmm. under zero would be even better.
Got it. The next one is energy and sports drinks.
Okay. So it's the same deal, right? Like yeah. they're marketed to us. Like you're going to be a stud athlete. If you drink Gatorade, you're going to be, you know, in the X Games, if you have Red Bull or Monster. The problem is that these things are just loaded. The ingredients are literally number one, water. Number two, sugar. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's what this, it's again, it's a sugar water. So parents that are giving their kids Gatorade, it can be good for athletes that need the carbohydrates in the sport while they're doing that. But parents giving kids Gatorade when they get home from school or for a snack or for lunch are doing a real disservice. It's very, very different the way your body will use carbohydrates while you're active because mm-hmm. you will use it as a primary fuel source. When you're inactive, your body stores it as fat, which leads to hyperinsulinemia. So what we need to do is make sure that we're looking at these nutrition labels and checking out, oh my gosh, this small bottle of Gatorade has 34 grams of added sugar. That's horrific. Yeah.
Continuing on with drinks, coffee drinks.
Okay, so again, coffee is kind of in the iced tea world. It's yep. totally fine if it's coffee,
right?
Black coffee. But if you take something like a Frappuccino, mm-hmm. right? Like a Frappuccino from Starbucks, forget about the sugar. Like that has 550 calories in it. Mm. For a reference point, you could either, for the same calorie content, you could either get a Frappuccino from Starbucks or a Big Mac from McDonald's. Those are the same.
Mm-hmm. Wraps. I assume you mean like spinach wraps and sandwich wraps and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
So, I'm not against wraps as well, but it's the same thing with the gluten thing. If you have a yep. gluten insensitivities or intolerance, the other point of that is, people think that it's just way better for you than bread.
Right.
And it's not, it's basically like a normal wrap is about 1.5 slices of bread. So it's more than one. Mm-hmm. So I guess instead of like a sandwich, we'll have two. You're having a wrap. It would be better, but incrementally. Yeah. It's not like because it's a wrap, it's healthy, which right. is you see people at like the airports. And I do it. Like mm-hmm. I go for a wrap because in my mind, it's like if it's a wrap, it's healthier.
Yeah.
It's still a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of deal.
Just don't fool yourself as to what you're actually eating.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Number 10 is rice.
So again, rice, nothing against rice for people that are going to, it's low in sugar, mm-hmm. but where the carbohydrate content is what we got to be aware of. And just so easy to overeat right. rice. So one cup of rice has 45 grams of carbohydrates. That's not the end of the world at all. If you have that at your meal and that's the carbohydrates you have for that meal, no, that's more than fine. That's mm-hmm. low. That'd be low. The problem becomes most people don't just have one cup. They have right. a little bit more than that. It's the base of their whatever they're having. Mm-hmm.
And again, they do that because it's the healthier choice than something that yeah. whatever the alternative
is. So, and I'm not opposed to that, but like instead of, you know, a carbohydrate, so it's like, right. If you're trying to lower your carbohydrates, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to get lean, if you're trying to become more scientific term, like insulin sensitive, like, you know, become better at burning it and don't have these ups and downs, then choices of like vegetables would be so much better. So instead of a cup of rice, which has 45 grams, you have a cup of any vegetable. I don't know, any vegetable, it'd be under, you know, 10 and most likely closer to 5 grams.
Next one is sauces and dressings.
Okay. So this is like, I put this in the danger foods because people think that they're just freebies.
Right.
Right. So they make this amazing salad and then they pour hydrogenated vegetable oil, and which is so bad for you, like stay away from bad oils. That's the kind of thing that's no one's really talking about. People are talking about excess carbs. They're talking about sugar. You know, they're talking about fructose, but no one's really talking about the crappy oils. Mm. Crappy oils are terrible for you. And or they're like putting like barbecue sauce or teriyaki sauce or soy sauce or ketchup. In a tablespoon of ketchup, there's which is not very big, there's 4 grams of sugar. Like that's a fair amount of sugar that you're doing. If you do 2 tablespoons, you've basically kind of wrecked the meal. You put 4 grams of added sugar into this otherwise healthy meal. So just make the healthier choices. Use mustards instead of ketchup. Spicy brown, phenomenal choice because they're, check out the ingredients list again. Make sure there's no brown sugar or anything else. If it's not sweet, just, and then instead of crappy vegetable oils, use olive oil or coconut oil.
The last one on the danger foods list is protein bars.
Damn, I wish this wasn't a danger food. you mean candy bars with with protein in it?
Yes.
That's what we should be thinking about for most of these. Now, there are healthier options, right? Quest bars are fairly good. RX bars are fairly good. So look at, flip over. Here's the deal. Don't look at the nutrition facts. Look at the ingredients. When you look for protein bars, you're going to get tricked by the nutrition facts. Look at the ingredients. Now, the ones you won't get tricked by is if you want to look at sugars. So like a Metrex bar has like 27 to 34 grams of sugar in it. That's again, like in terrible, it's a candy bar. That's the candy bar. But then also look at the ingredients and how many things can you recognize and pronounce. If it's all, you know, maltodextrin and all these like chemicals, that's what you want to stay away from. That's why you want to go more towards the more like, you know, RX bars and Lara bars and those type of things.
The ones that you can't get at a gas station.
The ones that don't taste as good.
Yeah, and that too. Yeah.
But even like Clif bars. Like Clif bars look like they're super healthy. Yep. They all make it look like they're healthy.
Of course.
But Clif bars, like I think the number two ingredient, and I can't be quoted on this because I haven't looked at it recently, but I think the number two ingredient is corn rice syrup.
That sounds about right.
Sugar.
Yeah.
I mean, they try and trick you by saying, or not corn rice, sorry. There's two different things. Rice syrup, I think. Syrup. It's just, which is... sugar. I mean, they're smart. They don't want to put the word sugar in there. So they
I've heard you talk about all of the different words that can be used for sugar. We don't have to go down that road now, but maybe another point.
It's a great thing to Google. Yeah. And there's like a list of about 50 different words that they'll, you know, and they'll make it like organic honey.
Right.
Or even changing it to like organic cane sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's real sugar. And that's what sugar is. Right. There's a good example of why organic is not better for you. Yeah. It's like it's still sugar.
Okay, so that was your list of danger foods. I wanted to transition a little bit into what I sort of alluded to earlier in the conversation, which was that talk that you gave to your class, where you sort of broke down, for lack of a better term, it was just sort of like a day of eating for a normal person, like nothing crazy. Like they're not going to McDonald's. They're not getting, you know, going to Dairy Queen for dinner. And so you sort of laid out like, this is what normal probably looks like. And then this is what it looks like with a little bit, maybe more conscious decision to try to get a little bit better, make a little bit of a better choice.
Yeah.
So maybe you can kind of walk us through that conversation.
Yeah. I think actually, case A is not even normal. It's trying.
Okay.
It is, these people are trying to do something good. Gotcha. This is like the seemingly healthy. So let's kind of walk through this. Imagine you have breakfast at, so full day of eating. Like you're not like, I'm not starving, not doing intermittent fasting, not saying ketogenic, nothing majorly disruptive whatsoever to your lifestyle. So let's walk through like a fairly normal day for somebody that I would think everyone would agree that this is seemingly healthy. Mm-hmm. They wake up in the morning and they have a bowl of Kashi cereal with skim milk. Then from there, on the way to work, they stop by Starbucks and they get an iced mocha coffee. Then at work, maybe 10 o'clock, they have a fat-free yogurt, right, for a snack. Then they go to Panera Bread for lunch on their lunch break and they get a whole wheat, a turkey on whole wheat and a smoothie. From there, they go and have a snack in the afternoon and they have something that seemingly, they have a Nutri-Grain bar, right? And then at dinner, they go to Chipotle and something really quick because they're busy people and they get a burrito bowl. Nothing crazy, you know, like whatever. We might skip the guacamole and some tortilla chips and salsa. Mm-hmm. Like those are fairly like thoughtful, like yogurt, Nutri-Grain bars, turkey on whole wheat,
Like that's a day of eating that an average person would look at and say, what are you trying to do?
That's like, really good.
Yeah, that's like, that's.
So just put what that it ends up being is 460 grams of carbohydrates. That's excessive. Mm-hmm. Unless, so our CrossFit Games athletes, the biggest athletes that weigh, 210 pounds of lean, ripped, shredded muscle and are exercising for 6 to 8 hours a day of super high intensity, don't have that much. Mm. Put in perspective, like Katrin, like a 150-pound female with, all muscle and works out the same things, is somewhere in the mid-twos.
Okay.
So kind of like, Put in perspective, we should not be there. They are just like burning it up and burning it up and burning it up. So most of us should be somewhere, if you're a guy, maybe you are in that range. Maybe you are in the mid two range. But for most girls that are around 150 pounds that are not, 11% body fat and exercising for 6 to 8 hours a day of super high intensity are probably going to be in the high 100s, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Kind of give some other perspective of what people have been throwing around these other terms of like low carb. When people say low carb, low carb is usually kind of like underneath 120 grams. Super low carb would be under 70 grams. Mm-hmm. And then ketogenic is under 20 grams.
Okay.
So kind of put things in perspective. We're talking like under 20 grams to 120 is low carb. I'm not even talking low carb.
Right.
I'm talking like each your carbohydrates. But this, what we just listed, is double what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. And we're making the smart choices.
Right.
So let's not do anything crazily disruptive. Let's see how we can change this thing.
Okay.
Let's say instead of having Kashi cereal and skim milk, you have a veggie omelet at home. Delicious. Like have as many eggs as you want. You had 8 eggs. Totally fine. Have as many veggies as you want. Mm-hmm. Eat to fullness, like as much as you want. By the way, that was only one bowl of Kashi cereal, so you can't have a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Which is impossible.
Let's right. Okay. And then you go to Starbucks again. We're going to go to Starbucks and you get a black coffee. If you want to put some heavy cream in it, you can put some heavy cream in it. Totally fine. And then for a snack, instead of having the fat-free yogurt, we're going to do some deli turkey and almonds. Okay, totally doable. Yep. Okay, let's bring some deli slices, some cold cuts, and some almonds. For lunch, we're going to go to Panera Bread again. So you can go with your coworkers. You're still going to do it. Except instead of having the turkey on whole wheat and the smoothie, you're going to get a Cobb salad and a iced tea that's not sweetened, an unsweetened iced tea or some water or a seltzer or something that's a healthy drink, but a Cobb salad. From there, for the snack, instead of the Nutri-Grain bar, you can have some jerky. And then for dinner, you're going to go back to Chipotle, except instead of the burrito bowl, you're going to get a salad bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't sound like that drastic of a change.
Yep.
You just went from 460 grams of carbohydrates to under 60.
Hmm.
You went to borderline ketogenic.
Right. Like with just making some small changes.
Yeah. I mean, ketogenic is 60, super low carb. I mean, you went super low carb.
Yep.
Ketogenic is 20 and super low carb is under 70 for most people.
Yep.
That's insane without making a drastic change at all.
And without being hungry. Without
without being hungry. Yeah. Now remember, it's about if not having excess. So you could even add some other things in if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And if you are active, especially in CrossFit, I would add this in. I am not a fan of people that train CrossFit the way that we traditionally think of CrossFit, not like the new CrossFit, like get off the carbs, get off the couch,
mm-hmm.
but CrossFit of like, you lift heavy and then you do Jackie and your Jackie time is under 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're doing that, you're training at high intensity. You should not be low carb. So in that case, we're going to fuel around your workout as well with some extra carbohydrates. Let's bring in some, a banana before you work out. Let's bring in some coconut water immediately after your workout. Let's bring in, some dried fruit afterwards with your protein shake, whatever it might be. But it just, I mean, without making drastic changes, you went from like, you cannot lose weight at 460 grams of carbohydrates unless you're a 220 pound ripped dude to training 6 hours a day.
Right.
To this area where it's like, oh my gosh, we almost have to search for more carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm. I've asked you this sort of off of the podcast just because it's something that I've thought about, which is there's always been this sort of thing in CrossFit, certainly in the early days, where it's like you say no to the carbs, but then you double up the protein. Is that a good move for what you're talking about, where if you do still want to get some more calories, is that what you would suggest? Or is it just get another helping of vegetables? Is that the smarter move?
So the traditional model was zone. Mm-hmm. And the zone was, if you want to get lean, you cut the carbs in half, but you double the fat.
Double the fat. Right.
So it's doubling the fat because fat is hormonally neutral.
Yep.
So where protein is get a little into it.
Yep.
Carbs elicits insulin. Protein elicits glucagon. It's a mobilization hormone. We're getting, yep. I don't like the jargon. I want to, yeah. But the idea was that fat, you could have a lot of fat because it's just kind of like energy. And the idea was, if you don't have a lot of carbs, your body will pull on these fats as fuel. That's like, we're talking the ketogenic thing.
Right.
If we're doing CrossFit and working out really hard, I've tried ketogenic. I've done it. So I like to try all these things. I don't think it works as well for people working out in the high intensity world. Now, if you have somebody in your gym that needs to lose 100 pounds and they're willing to go through the sticky points of like getting into ketosis, they'll drop weight.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't have certain like thyroid issues or other things, they have to be kind of like balanced already. But the easier way to do this, right? Forget about counting, forget about all of these things. Just start to be aware of the carbohydrate content and the sugar content in your foods and realize that that seemingly healthy kashi cereal, yogurts, whole wheats, Nutri-Grain bars, and burrito bowls, when you go that route, it's a losing proposition.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just being a little bit more aware and going a little bit towards this, like, I'm still going to Starbucks. I'm still going to Panera. I'm still going to Chipotle. I'm still having my snacks, but I'm gonna make them a little bit smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you need a little extra fuel in the tank, as you said, it depends on what's going on. It's now we get into like some rabbit holes. The answer is then it depends.
Mm-hmm.
If you are really active, particularly high intensity, that's where I would bring in carbohydrates around your workout. So what a really kind of like strategy that's worked for a lot of people in the CrossFit world, because our workouts are high intensity and we've kind of realized the benefits of quote unquote low carb, is you put all of your carbs around your workout.
Mm.
So what happens is carbs are your fuel.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is, but excess carbs were the problem, right? So we're going to put all of our carbs around our workout. Do it before. This is what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. So I work out in the morning, and before I come into the gym, I have a banana or a fuel for fire, somewhere between 15 and 25 grams of carbohydrates. After I work out, I have probably half my day's worth of carbs in that post-workout window. You know, I'm having like a meal with like 60 or 70 grams of carbohydrates right there.
Okay. So it's a full meal. It's not a supplement or it's not a...
So what I'm doing is like, it could be a supplement,
okay.
But I actually love like, you know, I'm doing like a banana. I'm doing whey protein. I'm doing like a low fat yogurt. So we just talked about that, but that's a high glycemic. You want it then. It's a little bit different.
Gotcha.
And some, dried fruit and oats.
Okay.
So like a granola.
Yep.
And that like, man, it's amazing. It's this like parfait.
Yeah.
You know, it's this amazing deliciousness. But that is, then throughout the day, I don't have any other carbs besides vegetables and fruit, and not even that much fruit.
Right.
So it's all happening there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really sound for the way we, and by the way, your workouts will go up as well.
Mm.
That's a, and you build more muscle. Sugar is anabolic. It will build muscle if it's used at or around your training at high intensity. If you don't go high intensity, it's basically a drip, drip, drip of a fuel source, kind of like marathon runners that have to have the goos and the Gatorades and stuff like that. But if you're training CrossFit, fueling the workout with high glycemic carbs is really powerful. And then if you want to get lean, just lower it the rest of the day.
Gotcha. All right, that was a lot of really good stuff. Is there anything else to this conversation worth?
Yeah, there's a lot.
I mean,
yeah.
Worth we'll, doing right now.
Not right now. We'll drip it somewhere else.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
You can get every episode of Chasing Excellence wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube. Until next time, thank you for listening.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.